more intimate with God, and I want to share with you some ideas about that. Many people throughout history have encountered God in various ways. And you know, God is more than an abstract idea. He's more than a theological concept. God is a person, and in such a way, He desires to engage us. Now, there are many places in Scripture that people engage God, and I'm going to show you a brief video clip this morning about a scene from Scripture. It's a familiar one. You remember the story of Moses and the Exodus? And there's this story that we're all familiar about of Moses leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. And you remember the event that occurred when they came to the Red Sea? There was this vast sea. No one could get across. And the Egyptian armies were following them. And this powerful miracle occurs. You recall, Moses holds his staff out. The Red Sea parts. They walk across on dry land. The Egyptians follow. And what happens? The sea comes back together and destroys Israel's enemies. That's a great story, isn't it? Very powerful to step into. What I want to look at is the moment right after that occurs. And you're going to see a video clip of Moses and his followers standing on the other side of the Red Sea trying to absorb what just happened. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine what it would be like, you know, kind of bending your senses a little bit to see a sea part? And to walk across it, and in hot pursuit are the Egyptian armies, and then all of a sudden the sea comes back together, destroying the enemies, and there you are on the other side, sort of with your mouth hanging open, trying to say, what just happened to us? That's the moment that we're going to encounter in this video clip.
The Lord is my strength and my might. This is my God, and I will praise Him.
Who is like the Lord? Who among the mighty? In your steadfast love, you led the people whom you redeemed. You guided them with your strength. The Lord will reign.
Yes.
Forever and ever. Forever and ever. Forever and ever. Forever and ever.
Wow. What a moment. You ever have a moment of encountering God like that? You know, one of those encounters that so impacts you that afterward you don't know whether to laugh or to cry? It's just kind of overwhelming, and you sense God's presence, and it just wells up inside of you and leaks right out your mouth, and you fall on the ground, and you know you've met God. It's unmistakable. That was this moment. What we saw in the video clip is actually the prayer that's written of Moses and the people immediately after the Red Sea. You see, they were overwhelmed, not by the parting of the sea, not by the destroying of their enemies, but by the presence of God. Did you hear that? Who is like God? He reigns forever. You see, they encountered God in their lives. Wow. You know, it's interesting to think about that. That God desires to connect with us. No, He really does. He desires to connect with us. We don't have to persuade Him to connect with us. And God is real. He is more real than the pews that you're sitting on or the building around us. Or all the things that we fill our lives up with. God God is real and He desires to connect with us. And you know, the Scriptures are full of these stories and vignettes of God showing up in people's lives and kind of blowing their minds. Abraham. You remember the story of Abraham? We're going to look at him this morning. You remember people like Joseph, Moses, Rebekah being childless and God appearing in her life promising a child. God appears in the most unusual ways. But somehow, He desires to connect with us. You know, when you think about the men and women, particularly of the Old Testament, but to some degree of the New Testament too, you think about these very real encounters with God they had, and they, for the most part, do not have the benefit of the written Word of God. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? In fact, they had no formal Scripture. Most of them, like Moses or Abraham, only had the oral traditions of faith followers, those who sought God, and they had the stories of their lives to encourage and guide them. You know, we have the richness of God's Word to kind of check and balance and guide us. But you see, they had to learn to encounter God in a very different way. Now, I know, when we think about that, that is so exciting, isn't it? Think about personally, first person encountering God in your life. But honestly, it's kind of freaky too, isn't it? It's a little scary. You know, scary to think that God may be speaking to me and I begin to go through that. Am I making this up? Or is it indigestion from last night's pizza? Or, you know, is it just my wish? Or is it really God in my life? Well, you know, if you think about it, the men and women of the Scripture face the same dilemma for the most part. They had to learn to sort of discern something inside, to tune into God's working in their lives. I mean, you think about poor Moses, him trying to tell his friends that God showed up in a burning bush and told him to go lead the people out with a stick. That's kind of a radical idea, isn't it? And you think Moses ever doubted that? I am confident that he did. Well, today I want to talk about intimacy with God. Intimacy is always a first-person thing. You don't borrow that from someone else. I want to talk about the kind of intimacy with God that when we experience it, like Moses and his followers, it changes us forever. You can't be the same anymore after you encounter God like that. I want to look at a passage of Scripture that will appear in 1 Samuel that will give us some principles about encountering God. And then I want to look at an example out of Genesis 18, out of Abraham's life, that illustrates these principles. But God desires to connect with us. What does it mean to encounter God in our daily lives? Well, it's interesting. Hebrews 12 says that sometimes people actually encountered God through angels without even knowing it. Boy, that's a freaky idea, isn't it? Have you thought about the people sitting near you on the pew? Could be an angel, manifestation of God's presence. Hebrews says it happens, and sometimes we don't even know it. Or you look in other places. Sometimes God encounters us through other people. This passage out of 1 Samuel, that a man of God spoke to Eli on God's behalf. Sometimes God uses people that you know aren't angels, right, to speak through them into your life. God desires to encounter us. I want you to look at this passage from 1 Samuel. It's a familiar story. You may recall that his mother, Hannah, desired to have a child and was barren. And this set in motion this whole chain of events about her faith journey that brought her into contact with Eli. By the way, a little parenthesis. It's amazing how often God works in the lives of people who have difficulty having children in the Scripture. Ever struck you about that? It's kind of an interesting thing, but you see it over and over again. And how the birth of a child or the struggle to have children, somehow God works in that process. Well, so it was with Samuel's mom. Finally, she became pregnant, gave a birth, and out of her thankfulness to God, she said, I'm going to dedicate my son for the service of God. Took him to the tabernacle where Eli the high priest was, and this is where we enter the scene. Samuel has been serving in the tabernacle under Eli. And the text says, Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And the word from the Lord was rare in those days. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? That the word from the Lord was rare in those days? You ever felt like that in your own life? Haven't heard from God in a long time. And it's an interesting statement because it sort of begs a question or two. It wasn't like God was on vacation. That's why the word of the God, you know, he had turned his computer off, so he wasn't answering email, that out of office message. Be back, you know, sometime in December. No, God was just as present as he had always been. But there was something going on, I believe, in the lives of the people that made it like an exception to hear from God. God was present. Now, if you know the story of Eli and his sons, you remember there was sort of a spiritual deadness that had crept into their lives. His sons were kind of out of control, walking away from God. Eli knew that these things were happening. And somehow, over time, I believe, Eli had become spiritually dull or numb. Ever been there and done that? I have. I have sometimes felt the presence of God so real in my life. Other seasons of my life, I have so much internal noise, I couldn't find God with two hands and a flashlight. I can't hear from Him. It's like there's this membrane around me, and it's about my inner condition. So it was, I believe, for Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. And the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel said, "Here I am." Now, you know this story a little bit. Did Samuel know what was happening to him at this point? No. He got the call from the word of God, and he thought it was who? Eli. So he went to Eli and said, "Did you like need something from me?" And Eli said, "No, you must be dreaming. Go back to sleep." But you see, in this text, you see that God initiated the contact with Samuel. You know, God does that in our lives all the time. That God doesn't need to be persuaded. He is ready to initiate contact with you and with me through the variety of ways that He does. But you notice, too, Samuel didn't know what was going on. Is it possible, of course, that sometimes God is initiating contact in your life, in my life, and I sort of like am clueless? I don't even know that it's God that's speaking through these events and people. Well, so it was for Samuel. God called him. It's interesting. This call is the idea of wanting to engage an individual for a purpose. That's the nature of the Hebrew word call here. And so Samuel said, "Here I am." He said it to Eli. Verse 7. Interesting text. Watch closely. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again, for the third time, and he arose for the third time and went to Eli and said, "Here I am." You know, God speaks to us. He does. He speaks to us in a variety of ways. And just like Samuel, He speaks to us in the everyday occurrences of our lives. Samuel didn't get a burning bush. He got the word of the Lord being spoken to him. And just like us, he thought it was Eli. He thought it was something else. He explained it away by natural phenomenon, didn't he? Eli's in the next room. It must be him calling me. So he goes and engages. But it was God who was desiring to communicate. Now this word revealed is very interesting. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to Samuel. The notion of revelation is an interesting one. Sometimes this notion of revelation in the Scripture carries with it, and this Hebrew word does, the idea that someone speaks or shows something that you can see. But it also has this second meaning that's much more about understanding. Have you ever had your spouse say something to you that you did not understand at all? even though they were speaking English, right? I'm speaking English here, but you're not hearing me. You see, understanding and hearing are two different things, aren't they? Sometimes we don't understand what we're hearing and the significance of it. That was Samuel. You see, God was engaging him, but Samuel hadn't learned sort of how to recognize God's voice or know it was him or understand what it meant. Well, that's an interesting idea. One of the principles in that is implied that we must learn to recognize the voice of God in our lives. It doesn't necessarily come naturally. And what did Samuel do? Samuel went to an older, wiser person, someone down the road in their faith journey who taught him something. Watch what happens. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and that shall be if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went down and laid down in his place. Discernment. Discernment's an important thing, isn't it? You know, usually in life we have to discern many things. Who can we trust? Who can we not trust? Our situations as they seem. You know, all of those ads that say, "Hey, buy my program and you'll earn $100,000 from home without doing any work." Well, most of us by this point in life have enough scar tissue that we see, "I don't think so." If something sounds too good to be true, then it is. You see, we've all learned that, right? It just doesn't work that way. That's discernment. That's judgment. That's bringing our experience to the table to say, this is not what it appears to be on the surface. I need to look underneath. And Samuel hadn't learned to do that, but Eli had. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? This guy who had a level of spiritual numbness could pull back and maybe the Spirit quickened him and he could recall, "Oh, God speaks. I need to guide this young boy." So Samuel, what you do is you listen, and when God calls, you say, "Lord, your servant is listening." We've illustrated this. Listening is different than hearing, isn't it? We hear many things, but sometimes we're not listening. I don't know about you, there are a lot of things that cause me not to listen well. Usually it's my own internal noise. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been having a conversation with your spouse and you're not really there? Now, your ears are working. The sound waves are striking your eardrum, transferred into electrical impulses, which are registering on your brain. But you are not there hearing anything that's being said. Our internal states a lot of times determine if we're listening. And Eli was saying to Samuel, something important is happening. So you need to kind of reorient yourself inside and tune in to be able to truly listen and say, "God, I'm ready to hear you with understanding and attention. Lord, I'm paying attention. I'm ready. My receptors are open. I'm ready to receive it. I'm not distracted." Eli coached Samuel to do so. Now, from this text, we learn several principles. One of them that we learn is that God is the one who initiates connection. I don't know about you, but that is a really powerful concept. Like I ask myself right now, how is God initiating contact with me personally? Because he desires to initiate contact. Scriptures are full of it, so I'm no exception. Second thing is, note that Samuel had to respond. You know, that's kind of the way it is in communication. Someone talks, someone listens and responds, kind of the tennis ball thing. But this response is really more about my internal state and my readiness to hear. And note, Samuel didn't recognize what was happening. He needed guidance from another person, more experienced, who had developed a level of spiritual discernment to say, "Samuel, I think this is God, and you need to pay attention to it." And so we all need that, don't we? We need people who can help us determine, is this God speaking, or is it like a figment of my imagination? And we have the benefit of God's Word as a check and balance in that, don't we? Samuel and his crew, They didn't have that. They had to develop a keen sense of discernment. This was spiritual formation in Samuel's life. And if you think about this little event that's so easy to read past, Samuel's entire ministry was based on wanting to listen to God, wasn't it? He became the prophet in Israel that was based on learning to listen to God. And we have this powerful vignette of him learning how to do that. God desires to connect with us. There's many places in Scripture we could look. I did a search in a concordance about how often God appeared in the Old Testament, developed this table. I know you can't read the text, but every yellow word there is appeared. God appeared, 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 appeared. And you could go into the New Testament, look the same way. 1 Corinthians 1:5-9. Look at all of the usage of the terms appeared. He appeared to 5,000. He appeared to the apostles. He appeared to me. You see, God desires to show up in our lives. In fact, He's very involved in that. This word for appeared is an interesting word. It means to see with the eye, but it means a second thing. It means to understand what you're seeing. I'm going to test you for a moment. Anyone know what this is? Anyone venture a guess? What is it? It's a phone. What else is it? It's a PDA. And mine has this little gizmo that slides out with this little mini keyboard thingy. And what's that for? Text messaging, right? Now, we just illustrated something. When I first held this up, even though you're far away, you probably saw the shape of it, and you saw that it was a device. But then I asked you, so tell me about this device, and do you hear what happened? Oh, that's a PDA. That's a phone. In fact, they're integrated, and that keyboard thingy there, you can do text messaging with it. You see, you saw it, but you saw it with understanding. You knew what it was. Do you realize 10 years ago, I could have held this up and no one would have had a clue? You see, there's a difference between seeing and understanding what something means. That's what this word means. God appears, but He not only wants us to see the event, He wants us, like Samuel, to understand what's going on. God desires to engage us. And note, this understanding thing is both corporate and personal. It's just not an individual thing. Samuel needed Eli to fully process what was going on. As we together, as the body of Christ, work together, that's how we determine, in part, God's movement in our midst. Note, these appearances had a profound impact on the recipients. Powerful principles. Now, I want you to look at a vignette, an example of where this occurred. It occurred, we're going to join Abraham in chapter 18 of Genesis. And he is in a camp in the desert by what are known as the Oaks of Mamre. It was like an oasis that had these huge trees around and a water source. And he was camping by this place, just like you might imagine a nomadic desert person. And note, verse 1. Now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite to him. Now note, the Lord appeared to him. Remember our principle from before that God initiates connection? Abraham wasn't looking for God at this moment. He was camping. He was in his tent, sitting by the door of the tent in the heat of the day, partly because it was hot outside, and he was in the shade, but at the door to get any breeze that might be going by. And in the course of a normal event, he looked up and he saw these three men. Note what happens. God initiated the contact. And note that this was in the everyday course of Abraham's life. This wasn't a special experience. It was what he had done 1,000 times before. Note, Abraham understood something. Now the Lord appeared by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting in the tent. And when he lifted up his eyes, he looked and beheld three men were standing opposite him. Note that Abraham's paying attention. You know, I kind of wonder what it was like for Abraham. Here he is. He sees these three travelers. And I wonder if there was some stirring inside of him. Some sense of, this isn't like your just everyday traveling experience. I wonder how he knew that something was getting ready to happen. Because you'll see by his response, he did. Note what happens. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bowed himself to the earth, and he said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass by." He saw them. But you know, it's kind of like literal. He saw three men. But you notice his response? It wasn't like this passive response. He got up, he ran to meet them and invited them in. I believe there was something in Abraham's spiritual awareness that began to tune him in to this was not your normal experience. The normal experience for Bedouins in the desert when a guest would come would be to rise and wait for them to come to you. The fact that he ran to them tells us that he understood something important was going on. Something in Abraham cued him to the significance of this event. He caught the scent of God in this. You know what God smells like? You know that vibe when you're singing a song and you begin to sense God's presence in your life in a little bit of a different way? Or maybe you're praying or reading God's word, or you have this encounter in the grocery store and you're sitting in your car in the parking lot saying, "What just happened? This person said something to me that how did they know?" And you begin to smell the scent of God. You know, my kids love their grandparents. And it's so fun to watch them get a package from my mom and dad. Because the first thing they do when they get the package, before they open it, like with a birthday gift, is they hold the box up to their mouth and their nose and they go and breathe in. Why? Because the package smells like my mom. It has her scent on it, smells like her house. It's very distinctive, but they love that. They're always saying, "Oh, this smells just like grandmother." Scent. You know, when my kids were small, one of their favorite things to do was to sleep in my t-shirts. Do you know why? They smell like me. And it's more than the perfume or the cologne that we might wear. It's how that mixes with our body, and it has the scent of a parent. You know what I'm talking about. You can probably smell your spouse. Not just when they've been working in the yard. That your spouse has a scent. You know when they're traveling and you roll over on their pillow and you smell the pillow and it reminds you of your spouse? That's what I'm talking about. When you spend time with someone, lots of time, you begin to recognize their scent. That's what Abraham had cultivated the ability to do. Something in this caused him to recognize these were no mere travelers, that this event smelled, had the vibe of God in it. And he paid attention. Note what happens. And when he saw them, he ran to the tent door to meet them. He bowed to the earth and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass by." You know, if you look at this, Abraham's actions and postures tell us something about his inner condition, don't they? The fact that he wasn't kind of like strolling out to meet God, but he ran. And this bowing tells us something about his inner heart condition. He really was hungry to meet God. And then he engaged him, invited him in. I wonder what your posture is internally toward God. I ask that of myself all the time. And frankly, sometimes I'm like not fit for God consumption. Meaning I'm so out of touch and so into the busyness of my life. The noise is so great. God is speaking, but I can't hear. But there are these other times where I am desperate to know God. I am ready to hear Him anytime, any place. Not at 70 miles an hour on the freeway, but I'm ready to slam on the brakes and stop no matter what it takes. You see, that was Abraham. He was hungry to meet God. He caught his scent. His posture internally was one of readiness. And he said, please don't pass your servant by. You know, that's a cool idea, really. Have you thought about how you invite God into your life to speak? How you issue the invitation? You know, one of the ways that you invite your spouse to talk with you is to clear your mind, focus on them, listen to what they're saying, let them know you're paying attention. You know, it's an amazing thing when you do that. They talk more, don't they? But you know, if you say, tell me about your day while you're reading the paper or listening to the TV out of the corner of your ear, or trying to fix dinner, they start talking less and less. We all do that, right? We all know when someone's paying attention. How do we invite God into our lives? We communicate that readiness. How do we invite Him not to pass us by? Now, that's a powerful metaphor, isn't it? That God sometimes is ready to engage us, and when we miss Him, we miss the opportunity. Now, fortunately, He continues to engage us. Now, note what happens, verse 4. He says, please let me get a little water to wash your feet. I will bring you a piece of bread. And since you have visited your servant. You know, you see Abraham engaging God and these travelers with an echo of the Lord's Supper, right? The washing of the feet. The sharing of a meal. You see, in that culture, in that time, that was an offer of intimacy. Come into my home. I'm going to slow down, clear my schedule, and focus on you. Have you ever thought that sometimes we minister to God? Scriptures say so. Samuel was ministering to God. It says that He delights in the praises of His people, that God longs to connect with us every bit as much as we long to connect with Him. That somehow we offer something to God as well as receive in that. And Abraham knew that. He engaged this. So Abraham hurried. He quickly prepared. He ran to the herd. He hurried. You get a flavor of how seriously Abraham was taking this? This wasn't some peripheral thing off in the corner of his life. He was really focusing on this event. It was important to him. And then it says he was standing by them as they ate. So you see, this story is pregnant with meaning. This last one is so powerful. Abraham's inner posture was such that he could just be in God's presence without filling it up with his requests. Novel idea, isn't it? So it wasn't like so often we are with our spouse, we finally get 10 minutes alone with them, and we pull out our list that looks like a roadmap of the United States, all the things we've been waiting to talk to them about. You know, the toilet needs to be fixed, we need to do this, you know, no. You know what I mean? Our list gets in the way of even saying, well, before we do the list, could you like say, hi, use my name, maybe hug me a little bit? You know, sometimes we approach God that way, don't we? We're so filled with the noise of the things we need from Him, and we all need things from Him, that we don't cultivate the ability to be silent in His presence. Boy, that tells you a lot about Abraham and this intimate encounter with God. What cultivates that silence in your life and in my life? So some key observations. Abraham had cultivated a sense of spiritual awareness. And I would invite you to begin to reflect and pray about that. How do you catch the scent of God in your life? And you notice he lifted up his eyes. He was looking for God to appear in the everyday things of life. He saw, not just with his eyes, but with understanding. He knew somehow who he was looking at in the events of these visitors. He knew this was an significant thing. He says in verse 5, you have visited me, knowing that God was there. Abraham cultivated that sense of expectancy. And then he responded. He ran. He bowed. He requested them to stay. He invited them into his house. He washed their feet, shared a meal, and then stood by attentively. And if you look at the text, we're not going to do that this morning, it was that point that God spoke the miracle that next time this year, Isaac would be born. God spoke that in Abraham's silence. How well do we do silence before God and listen to Him? God desires to meet us. He goes out of his way to do so. He did with Abraham. He did with Samuel and scores of others in Scripture. God is often the initiator of these contacts. They often occur in the midst of everyday life. If I somehow had a special wisdom and I said to you, God is going to meet you this afternoon, I know 100% for sure. Boy, I'd make for an interesting afternoon, wouldn't it? Looking for God to show up wherever it is you go this afternoon or tomorrow morning. Abraham cultivated this expectancy that God would meet him in everyday things. And then, what would it be like to really know the scent of God? To cultivate the feel, the vibe, that deeper spiritual heart sense of recognizing this is no ordinary store clerk here. God is about to speak to me in this. Or this is not just one more worship song or one more sermon. Maybe God is present and He's starting to tug through His Spirit in my heart. And then we must learn to respond. We must develop that spiritual discernment and have the inner posture of readiness. How's your readiness this morning? Are you ready to hear God speak to you? Because He desires to. Well, there's an ancient prayer that I love, written by this gentleman, Anselm of Canterbury, that I'm going to use as our closing this morning. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand and read it with me. And we're going to read it one line at a time. I'd like you to read it and then pause for a moment to think about what you've read and engage God with it. Will you stand with me? Teach us to seek You and reveal Yourself to us as we seek. For unless You instruct us, we cannot seek You. And unless You reveal Yourself, we cannot find You. Let us seek You in desiring You. Let us desire You in seeking You. Let us find You in loving You. Will you bow with me? Would you communicate in your way to God right now that you desire Him? Would you ask Him to open your eyes so that you may recognize with understanding His speaking to you? God, our Father, we love You. There is nothing that we want more than to be electrified with Your presence. There's nothing more than we want to cultivate that spiritual awareness that in the events of this afternoon that we might see Your fingerprints or catch Your scent in a way that we slam on the brakes and like Abraham, we run to You and invite You in and then learn the art of listening in silence as You speak to us. God, be with us and give us an awareness of Your presence this day. We ask it in Your Son's name. Amen. Well, in a few moments after I dismiss you, there will be some elders that will come forward that would love to pray with you. If you think God is speaking to you or you need to hear Him, they will be more than happy to join you in that. You're dismissed. Thank you.